those two are two half boxes, because the other half is in, you know, the Ravana there. But I guarantee those are two boxes. So one for the networking and one for the computing. I bought it years ago on eBay. I think some startups ran out of business, and they had like many full size rack full of NUCs and you know, NVIDIA boards. So I bought one and I started to play with it. So now I have 10 NUCs lying around at home, 5 GPU, and don't know what to do with them. So this is how everything started. So I have a single point of failure, and all the SREs and DevOps here, you know, will hate it, but it's my single point of failure, and I love it. And I call it Snowflake because it's unique. And what it does a very minimal setup. It's the only long-living server, or NUCs, if I can call it server. I will call it server, so. It's my only long-living server I have. And it runs a DHCP server. It runs Pixieboot, a TCP server, and is the core of my home lab. It runs there and it distributes the NixOS derivation that I want to netboot on the other servers when I hook them to the network. As you know, because you are here and you are like me, I tend to automate everything I can. So, as I said, this is the code that I wrote in the NixOS derivation for the Snowflake server. I start OpenSSH, I configure my keys. I didn't paste that, the public key there, because it was too long and not great, but you know how to do it. And I start Pixie Core, and I configure it with a package called Black Hole that is the distribution I use for netbooting. And I'm going to get to netbooting later on. I have my .dot files shared with the NixOS configuration, so you can check that if you want. So what is my Snowflake server is used to do Pixie booting and net booting, to distribute the images I want on my ephemeral labs. And Pixie Core is a tool that helps with that. It can be used standalone. It's a Go project that you run. It exposes a DHCP server, a proxy, an HTTP server to download the kernel and the init RAM disk. And then this is Black Hole. So Black Hole is when you do net booting, you need an operating system to run on the new servers. And I generate that from a NixOS derivation. It's also very lightweight because it stays in RAM, so it's not persistent on disk, so it needs to be as small as it can be. So I use the netboot base profile and I changed to minimal, but I didn't update my slides. So if the image is too big, you can use the installer minimal, that is a bit smaller. And then I install OpenSSH because this is what I use to enter into the server when it boots. But what is netbooting? So from zero to hero in 1 minute, because that's how good I am with netbooting. And so every server or many computers boots and they look for an operating system on disk. And if there is not an operating system on disk, they look for a USB one. And if there is not a USB, the world becomes way bigger and they try to send a DHCP request to the DHCP server. Says, oh, I'm alive, what can I do? And if you have a smart enough DHCP server, it replies with a package containing the IP address for the server and then an address that can be used to download an init RAM disk and a kernel and boot the server. So this is, very old style, but still in use. All the cloud providers that I had the opportunity to work with use this because hardware doesn't change that quickly. So Pixie booting is still there, and this is the same things I use. So I download the two binaries and the two packages, and my servers is ready to boot. So for me, I take the compute modules out from my boxes, I hook it to the network, and they power on the HTTP kernel, and I'm ready to SSH. This is kind of the log you get from Pixie Core when it detects like a new server ready to handle an installation process. So, the IP is assigned 162 and it downloads the kernel, the init RAM disk that I generated with the Black Hole scripts that you just NixOS derivation that you just see, and it boots. So at the end of the booting process, you have an address that you can SSH into, and you have a server to play with. Obviously, this is not persisted. So when you reboot the server, the dance would start again and again forever, and you would get a fresh new server to use. But for my ephemeral home lab, this is what I need. I just need a quick way to prototype. So if you can get enough RAM to be happy, and for me, 8 gigabytes of RAM is happier than ever, I can play with that. Obviously, all the nooks can have, you know, disk attached to it, and you can decide to persist the operating system on it. So you can write a systemd script that does NixOS install at the end of the when the server is booted, and you don't need to touch anything. When the black hole starts, it will run the script, the systemd scripts, and it will have a new persisted and flashed operating system. As I said, I don't do that because I don't need it, but that's how the, you know, the full cycle, life cycle of the machine can be managed. And how do you, if you persist a disk, how do you reboot a server and get back to the Pixie, to the Pixie dance is all on you. In my case, I don't have, like, the Nux doesn't really have a board, a BMC to control the server, so I can't force the bootloader to netboot. So I wipe the disk and I break the disk, so it will go to netbooting. A bit rough, but, you know, home labs, that's how it is. So service discovery, in my case, it's way simpler than what it should be. You can use console, core DNS, or whatever you want, Tiscale even. So you can, you know, in Black Hole, you can register a Tiscale daemon and have it registered there, and you see that in the UI. I use my router. So when I see that there are new servers with a NixOS hostname, I know that there is a server ready to be to used and that is booted. In the meantime, when it does the Pixie dancing, the host name is Pixie and a random MAC address. So it kind of gives me enough control, and I don't need to run anything else. But you can get fancier if you want. So what is netbooting used for? Only for ephemeral home labs? As I said, no. Cloud providers or, you know, people managing data centers that I think you know more than me, but you can do that for inventory management. So when you buy a shiny new server, it doesn't do much, it doesn't know what to do, so you just hook it to the network, and the Pixie then starts, and instead of running a script that persists an operating system, you run a daemon that registers the server to an inventory management, like Netbox or others, so you can, you know how much RAM it is, the model, whatever you can get from the system, you inspect the system, you push the blob, and you register a brand new servers, and you have it available in your system. So it's kind of the same process I do for mine, but way cooler because the hardware is way more expensive. You can do that for provisioning. So as I told you before, I don't do provisioning because I don't want a persistent operating system on my home lab, but you can format and partition disks using systemd if you want, or any other way to run scripts, and you're ready to go. For recovery, it's the same way. As I said, I don't have a BMC, but you can, you know, break your disk and get back on Pixie booting. Some of the hardware have disk attached, but I don't really use disk much. And even if you don't, because I don't need it. So my operating system is small enough, and I do simple stuff that don't require me to, you know, swap or go on the disk. So I can use the entire disk. I can format it just for the data if I need to store some data. In order to do orchestration, Pixie Core, you can declare MAC addresses and the images you want to push to. So if you know the MAC address of your Ethernet cable, you can say, oh, on this MAC address, distribute this image, otherwise distribute a different image. So you can have servers running different netbooting images, and it's very convenient. So now when it comes to electric wiring, I'm also not really an expert. So what I have a really, you know, a powerful enough DC that is connected to a few fuses, so I don't, you know, blow up all the nooks at the same time, one at a time maybe, but not all together. So that's why I have the fuse there. Easy, cheap, it works. And then to control, you know, the power consumption, I just cut the power at the beginning. So I have a Raspberry Pi connected to a board of 16 relays that I control over an API. So if I want to stop the nuke number one, I just, you know, stop, cut the energy and the power for that nuke, and goodbye nuke. And, you know, playing with the GPIO of the Raspberry Pi is very easy and convenient. So for the prototype, it's good enough. I want to change from a Raspberry Pi from ESP32 to experiment a little bit, but it's not really for NixOS because it doesn't run an operating system, so just there. And I got two new fancy boxes that I want to replace with the IKEA one because I think that will play a better role with my, you know, ambient there. And I don't know if I'm late or earlier, but that's it.
10 minutes in principle.
Okay, so yeah, this is my home lab and what I'm playing with. So. If you have any question or if you want to know more, I will just go back to the, if I can. My invite is to have a look at the .file repo, if I can. Oh, I can go there. At the .file, because it has all the code in there and you can play with it. So coming back to these slides, what I really like is the conveniency of, you know, I have my NixOS derivation. For these experiments, I'm building two NixOS derivations, and the Snowflake one encapsulates the other one, so I can distribute it conveniently. And it's a single flake file that contains and runs both. So it's, you know, it's very easy, and it's very easy when you get to it. To get there, it took me 135 questions on Discourse, 36,000 messages on Matrix, but I'm there, and it's there for you. So play with it if you want. So thank you. Yep.
How does NixOS play ball with the DHCP server and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, because it's very...
How NixOS
plays with the Pixie booting and, you know, net booting. There are other, like, packages or other projects that helps you to package an operating system. Like, HashiCorp Packer is another one. There is InfraKit from Docker and all those kind of stuff. So, but NixOS gives you full control on the distribution that you want to provide. So for example, at the beginning, I wasn't really looking at the size of the image. So I was pushing in there everything I needed. But then I started to realize that my image was like 4 gigabytes and my RAM, I didn't have enough RAM, or I didn't have enough RAM left to do the actual work. So I started to iterate and play on what I was able to remove. So I started to investigate about how to do a minimal operating system. So I see that minimal profiles, I disabled the documentation, I disabled, you know, everything that I don't needed. And I went back to like, now the image is 400 megabytes in RAM when it's fully unpacked. And it works, so it's good enough. So I think that's really the power you get from NixOS compared with other systems.
For getting questions answered, I can also suggest the Discord server, which is also pretty great.
Okay, yeah, I will look at it. Thank you.
One more round of applause, please.
Thank you.
I'm going to have to do some,
Oh. Are we ready for the next?
Great. Yes. Hi, I'm Philip. I'm here on behalf of Circle, a company. So we specialize on software delivery customized to the clients. Like what people want. This talk is about Nate, so I'm here in Foston 2023, of course, and my talk is pitfalls of Nates and how to avoid them, right? So at Circle, we use Next.js for infrastructure, we use Nates for CI/CD, and setting up dev environments. Basically, everywhere you can use Nates, we try to adopt it, just because Nates is great. You have all the reproducibility and everything that comes with that, right? So this is me. All my socials are here. If you want to reach out to me, my GitHub. Right. So Circle, as I said, is a software company focused on creating customized high performance solutions. So this is mainly in the functional programming realm of Haskell and stuff like that. Where people want customized solutions for certain problems. Exactly right. So again, this talks about Nates, and this is right. The goal of this talk is to make Nates more approachable, right? So when we adopted Nates, I wasn't there then. All of the developers weren't using Nates, right? And they still, they try to, right? So the Haskell developers. They're not that into Nates, right? And they had some issues, and I want to touch on that just so that, a case study of how Nates works in Circle. So I'm pretty new at Circle, and I'm part of the SIE team. So I try to push Nates too, and oftentimes we have developers.